Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquis. We're your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts over at our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Cortland Economics Report, where day after day we are commentating on the markets and also talking to a number of company executives to get really up to date on what the company is doing, mostly focused in the resource sector. We are kicking off this weekend show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. And Jesse, look, you post quite a few blog posts for your subscribers talking a lot of big picture concepts when it comes to Fed policy, market, sentiment, and global issues. We'll break down a couple of the key factors, mostly focused on markets and where investors are positioning themselves. Let's first just quickly touch on Fed policy, because right now we know a fair bit about what the Fed is thinking in terms of rate hikes and when those will start, which the expectation is for next month. We don't know if it'll be a 25 basis point hike, 50 basis point hike. Either way, the process of hiking rates is starting. But there's a few things that we really don't know about Fed policy, and that is potential balance sheet unwind. Or one thing we are discussing off mic is potential yield curve control. This is a concept that's been, in a way, almost forgotten, although we were talking about it a couple years ago. Jesse, give us your thoughts broadly on what the Fed is going to do here and what's important for investors to watch as they undoubtedly announce new policies and potentially change some of their guidance.
I think maybe one of the important, most important points people need to understand is that the Fed has been outright monetizing the U.S. federal debt for at least a decade now. After they started QE2, Ben Bernanke was accused, when testifying in front of Congress. This is almost 11 years ago, exactly to the week. He was accused of monetizing the debt. That's what the purpose of QE is for. He said, no, look, we're not monetizing the debt. What monetizing the debt looks like is a permanent increase in the money supply in order to help fund the government's needs. What we're doing is temporary. The balance sheet's going to $2-3 trillion maybe, but we're going to normalize. We're going to bring it back down to $1 trillion here. And so these are just temporary operations to support the economy. Well, the Fed's balance sheet has gone from $2-2.5 trillion to almost $9 trillion in the last 10 years. So this is a permanent increase in the money supply. We've seen a massive increase in the money supply, a permanent increase in the Fed's balance sheet. And especially over the last 2 years, I mean, the Fed has printed so much money. They've essentially funded 70% of the government's funding needs for the past 2 years. So this is, according to Ben Bernanke's definition, this is monetization of the debt, and I don't think there's any way the Fed can get out of this. They're trapped. They're now in what economists kind of refer to as fiscal dominance, where the Treasury's needs take precedence over anything else the central bank might want to accomplish, including a normalization of interest rates or monetary policy. So the Fed is going to try and normalize monetary policy, but every time they've tried to do that over the last 10 years, it's caused problems in the markets. And in reaction, the Fed has said, hey, okay, sorry, we're not going to normalize. We're going to go back to printing money because they're trapped into doing this. And so I think that is basically the pattern that they're in. And even, you know, former Fed officials have been warning about this for a long time. Tom Hanig has been warning, you know, when he was a voting member on the FOMC, he dissented many times. during these QE, periods is really the lone dissenting voice, but, he's been coming out recently saying the Fed is trapped. They basically opened Pandora's box when they started QE, and the amount of debt that's been created basically makes it impossible for them to normalize. And so I do think we're going to hear talk about yield curve control at some point in the near future again as the economy slows and the Fed attempts to normalize. We've already seen mortgage rates go from 3 to 4% in just, a couple of months' time. And that, could become really problematic for household balance sheets, and if it puts creates a slowdown or a bear market for real estate prices, and the Fed understands these risks. They understand the risk to the corporate credit markets. I think that's a lot. Another thing people don't maybe appreciate enough is the Fed put is not based on the S&P 500. It's based on corporate credit spreads. Jay Powell is a former private equity guy. He knows what corporate leverage looks like and how vulnerable it is. And so we're going to see a slowdown. We're going to see them normalize, and then we're going to hear talk about how the Fed is going to stay involved in the Treasury market. And they may not use the word permanent, but it's becoming more and more obvious that this is a permanent feature of the Treasury market.
So, Jesse, what about past tightening cycles from the Fed? Because the Fed has tried to tighten before, I believe 11 of 14 monetary tightening cycles since 1955 were followed by increases in unemployment and, quite frankly, drops in markets and drops in sentiment. Are you comparing this tightening cycle to any of the other past ones in terms of what we can expect market-wise, sentiment-wise?
I think, yes, I'm comparing it. I think one of the things that is most interesting to me is some of these gaps between what the market is pricing in and what is likely to happen going forward. I think the only tightening period we could look back to are the last couple, when the Fed was tightening into 2018. Really, I mean, Jay Powell's tightening is really kind of the only one we can look back to. This is the only one in modern times when we'd had as much money printing as we have today, and markets that are so dependent upon the Fed. But to me, I think Bridgewater put out a piece recently, and I thought it was fascinating that markets are now pricing in a benign outcome in terms of inflation, in terms of the economy, and the stock market. And I think, the Fed is not going to be able to have its cake and eat it too. They're either going to be able to rein in inflation, and they're going to have to hurt the economy and the risk markets in the process, or they're going to protect the economy and the markets, and they're not going to be able to rein in inflation. And so, basically, I think as an investor, you're making bets on right now on what you think that outcome is going to be. But if markets are pricing in, inflation's going to come back down to normal, and the stock market and the economy are going to be okay, then there are opportunities to profit from that. And really, that was Bridgewater's point, is that, to the extent that that consensus is wrong, it yields opportunities for investors to kind of play those trades. And now I think, what are those? Well, if that's what markets are pricing in, then probably the dollar is overvalued, gold's undervalued, stock market is potentially vulnerable as well. And so I think those are the interesting things to look at right now in terms of what's going to happen over the next 6 months.
Yeah, it's sure going to be an interesting 6 months, just judging by the first month and a half this year of trading and investors' expectations. And the Fed very much trying to walk us down this course. But boy, oh boy, there are a lot of doubters out there on if the Fed will be able to get through with a couple rate hikes. I know the plan is to just keep on going, but with the weakness in the markets and some of the slower economic growth we're seeing, we'll see how far the Fed can get with all this. Jesse, we're having you back on next segment. We'll focus a little bit more on the markets as well as generally big picture moves. There are some other sectors that we should focus on. I'm sure we'll get to those, and really trying to make sense of all these crazy moves to start off the year. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500 and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
You're
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. So, Jesse, as much as we talk about market weakness and really some of the uneasiness within the financial markets, we do have to consider this is tying into when the Fed is getting tighter. And anytime you take away money, especially when money has been so easy over the last little bit, I think it's reasonable to assume that markets are going to broadly pull back. But the whole question is, what is the reasonable valuation? We've heard for a decade now that stuff is overvalued, but with more money in the system, where is the, I guess, reasonable revaluation? It's hard to answer, but what can you give us in terms of your insights where these markets could correct to?
Well, I mean, that's a really good question. I don't know how to adjust valuations for, based on the money supply. I will tell you that there's a really good relationship between M2 growth year over year and the stock market year over year. And M2 growth has been decelerating quickly and is going to continue to do so if the Fed is able to taper and eventually shrink the balance sheet. And I think that's what most people are worried about right now. This is what the Fed is most worried about, is the Fed really doesn't know. They've guessed, and we, none of us really know what the effects of quantitative easing have been in the markets and in the real economy. We can guess and point to things that, all this money printing has supported asset prices and things. I think the most obvious thing is that money printing that we've seen over the past 10 years has supported animal spirits in the markets. This is a concept I think we've talked about before, and it's as old as central banking. The central bankers know that when they print money, they can get people excited about speculating. And this has been a relationship between central banks and investors for centuries, honestly. And so when you end that money printing, you risk killing the animal spirits behind a lot of these things. And I think this is another gap that I'd point to, is we see dramatically deteriorating consumer sentiment over the past couple of years. So as the stock market has soared higher, consumer sentiment has gotten really negative. And normally these things go together. This is why the Fed has tried so hard to create a wealth effect, because they know when we push the stock market up normally, that makes people feel better about the economy and they go spend more. Well, that hasn't been the case during this latest boom in the stock market. And there's only been, when you look at, I first saw this chart from Bianco Research, this terrific chart. You take the 3-year correlation between the stock market and University of Michigan consumer sentiment, and normally they're really highly positively correlated, 50 to 90%, stock market goes up, sentiment goes up. What we've seen in the past 2 years is something dramatically different, where sentiment has plunged while the stock market has moved higher. The only times we've seen this correlation become so negative was in 2007, right, when the real estate market was starting to roll over hard, consumers starting to worry about their personal finances and the economy, and the stock market was soaring to new highs in the summer, fall of 2007, right before the financial crisis really kicked off. And again, we saw it in late 86, early 1987, when people started becoming worried about inflation again, and the Fed was going to tighten, and really kind of some of the catalysts of the 1987 stock market crash. But this deterioration in sentiment, I mean, consumers today are worried about their personal finances. They're worried about their ability to keep up with, inflation in terms of their purchasing power. And I worry that it could be a harbinger of deteriorating risk appetite. This, the death of animal spirits in the stock market, it's really worrisome to me.
Well, yeah, Jesse, we've definitely already seen a lot of the death of animal spirits with the meme stocks capitulating, with some of the tech and growth stocks capitulating, with cryptos having a little bit of a pullback. And we've seen even things like the NASDAQ, where 40% of the NASDAQ stocks are down over 50% year over year. So are off their all-time highs, I should say. So I guess the question is, with all these macro factors, do you think that gold will start getting a safe haven bid as a risk-off asset with all of these different currents swirling around?
I think it already is. I think that's exactly why gold is going up lately. A lot of people have been stunned that, supposedly gold and real interest rates have gone, in opposite directions. There was an interesting piece in the Financial Times that was just about this topic. And when you look at gold and tips, they've had a very close relationship, performed very similar, typically. But last year, or, you know, the last 18 months or something, we saw tips really soar strongly higher to new highs. And gold went into a correction. So they really diverged, and now, you know, tips have been getting hammered, and gold has been doing really well. So people are, you know, kind of stunned. Wait, what is going on? Why are they so off? Well, I think the thing that I've kind of just thought about is that, you know, the tips market has been massively manipulated through QE over the past 18 months, 2 years. The Fed, you know, came in and bought more tips as a, you know, percent of bonds outstanding than any other, you know, securities they were buying. And so they became, you know, you can't really trust the price signals in the tips market. So how do you explain, if it's not real interest rates, you know, driving, you know, the gold price, what is it? Well, there's a great quote in this FT article. I think people are starting to look more towards protection against dollar devaluation and wealth preservation and those other aspects of gold. And that is kind of why I put out that blog post today, that people need to understand the Fed is monetizing the debt. They're trapped into doing this by fiscal dominance. The Treasury's needs are now greater than anything else the Fed may want to do. And in that scenario, you need to protect your purchasing power. Gold is the most obvious way to do that. And so I think investors are just beginning to appreciate this, which is why gold is starting to catch a bid again.
Jesse, isn't that true in other countries too? The monetizing of debt by central banks? It seems like other central banks are also stuck in this trap.
They are, but you look at the European nations and they have more constraints on what governments are allowed to do, right? And they essentially follow the Fed's lead, right? I mean, you look at the European Central Bank and they're not doing anything that the Fed is not going to do first. And so, yeah, it is true. But I think it's, you know, to me, it's most important to see it being done in the Treasury market, because it's the market where I can look and see the Fed is stepping away from tapering and interest rates are going up. Normally, what I would expect, if this was just quantitative easing, tapering would lead to a slowdown in the economy. That would make for lower interest rates. The fact that rates are going up as the Fed is tightening tells me that the Treasury market has been falsely supported by the Fed for the past several years, and it can't function without Fed intervention anymore. And to me, that is a very, very important signal that the Fed is going to be forced to maintain this type of position.
All right, Jesse, we're going to wrap it up here. I think no one's denying that the Fed is going to have to switch course again to some sort of easier monetary policy, and they haven't even started hiking rates yet. We just don't know when that's going to happen, but yeah, very interesting. Always hearing what you're seeing out there. I look forward to having you back on the show, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. child poverty in the United States is rising again. Columbia's University Center on Poverty and Social Policy estimates that nearly 4 million American children fell into poverty last month. The Ag Department will allow Mexican avocado imports after a pause. A USDA inspector was threatened last week, leading to a suspension of Mexican fruit imports. The agency saying it enacted additional measures with the U.S. Embassy, and inspections have since restarted. The pause happened during peak growing season for the fruit and just before the Super Bowl, which has historically been one of the most popular times of the year for avocado consumption. Russia is beginning to launch missiles in a planned exercise today from Moscow. Russian President Vladimir Putin overseeing the military exercises. USA Radio News. Vice President Kamala Harris says there will be a swift, severe, and united response if Russia invades Ukraine. The Vice President giving a keynote address to the Munich Security Conference in Germany today.
The rule of law should be cherished, that sovereignty and territorial integrity of all states must be respected, and that national borders should not be changed by force.
Today's rocket launch in Virginia will be visible in New York, Pennsylvania, and other eastern states. NASA saying the best viewing location will be on the Virginia coast, but that Delaware and Maryland beaches are also good viewing sites. The launch from NASA's Wallop Flight Facility is set for 12:40 p.m. Eastern Time. A Grumman rocket will carry a spacecraft to deliver science experiment supplies to the International Space Station. This is USA Radio News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In the next two segments, we're going to be shifting our focus a little more specifically on the markets and some of the recent moves we have seen. We are chatting right now in this segment with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. You can also follow Dana's work over at the Lyons Share website. I will post a link to that website. And Dana, we talk a wide range of markets because, look, I love having you on the show because you do not carry any bias into these markets. You're simply using your internal models to show you where the best opportunities are in different sectors. And I want to start off with the precious metals sector because gold has gotten a very nice buy, especially over the last couple of weeks. And as we're recording this on Thursday, gold is sitting pretty much right at that $1,900 level. This is not just key psychological resistance, but also correlates with some other technical factors that we do need to pay attention to. But again, a lot of these moves higher are being predicated on these war fears out of Russia and Ukraine. We've talked a lot about that this past week on Daily Editorials. But rotating back to you following your models and trying to ignore some of these noise when it comes to different headlines, how are you viewing the gold space in this run to 1900?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Just to touch on the, the news headlines right off the bat. There's a difference between news events and market impacting news or developments and news headlines. So whatever the underlying developments, events of the day that move markets. That all feeds into the data, the market data that we look at, whether it's prices, breadth, you know, money flows, that type of thing. It all impacts that. So if you just pay attention to the data, you're better off than paying attention to the news events and the headlines of the day, because eventually it all feeds into there anyways. And if the event is market moving, it's going to impact the data. So all you have to do is, pay attention to data. It's going to lead you in the right direction. And when it comes to news headlines, those are typically short-term, you know, whiplashes or short-term shocks to market prices that are almost always a fade. So, and we talked about it before, but if someone comes out with a press release or a quote, a statement, whatever, those are all highly orchestrated, and they're orchestrated to move, whether it's markets, whether it's market prices, or to, in the geopolitical world, to accomplish some sort of an end. So all of those are orchestrated, and if you're a market participant, you got to understand that and understand that, okay, there's no, it's not a surprise that, okay, we have this bearish headline coming out and it's moving prices down. That's not something that you want to turn bearish on. In fact, I've said almost probably 90% of the time these market headline movers are fades. So you get a negative shock, then you want to be buying. If you get a positive quote, a positive statement, a positive headline come across the wire, then you want to be selling into that, because, like I said, it's all orchestrated. And those short-term blips, you want to basically fade those moves every time. But in the longer term, anything that is worthy of moving the markets or having an impact on the markets, it is going to eventually leak down into the data. So you don't have to pay attention necessarily to the events themselves, but how it impacts the data. And in terms of gold and precious metals, we've said it, we've talked about it a lot in the past, but our thought on precious metals, looking at gold in particular, is that the run-up to the 2020 high was basically a test of that high from back in 2011. Since then, we've basically been consolidating, working off that bull run that we saw to 2020, and I, in our view, is setting up the next up leg in the bull market. So eventually, we work off those excesses that were built up a couple years ago. We're able to break out and put in a sustainable new up leg. How far it goes, I'm not sure, but at this point, we've just been working off those excesses, consolidating. I think over the last week or so, we've seen some probably key technical developments in terms of breaking out of that, you know, kind of consolidation, kind of that pennant that we've been in. We still have a number of technical challenges ahead in the short to intermediate term, but we've broken through a bunch of those. So we're chipping away at it, I think. Not necessarily time to take off to the upside necessarily in the precious metals complex, but chipping away at some of that resistance. And the more you know, layers we chip away at, the easier it will be to sustain a breakout and a new upleg.
Yeah, solid point there, Dana, that it's encouraging to see this move up, whatever the reasons are. And I, as you pointed out, there's probably too many reasons for people to even factor in how gold is moving. It's not just a war premium. There's also Fed rate hikes. There's the dollar currency relation. There's the weakness in the general markets. But it is encouraging to see the precious metals at least moving higher, but still some work to do with overhead resistance levels to take out. But speaking of the markets, you have pointed out really for a while here, you were expecting some weakness in the markets way before all the headlines started popping out over the last week or two, and you've been spot on, Dana. So when you look at the markets now, are you seeing it a similar situation where you're waiting to see if we get a bottom and a bounce here, or are you still expecting another potential leg lower to this move that we've already seen to the downside of the general markets?
Waiting to see the next leg down, whatever form it takes, whether it's a retest of those late January lows or maybe even a new leg lower. So we hit that, like we talked about last time I was on, formed a good capitulatory low, in initial capitulatory low at the end of January, saw some good bearish sentiment, some good washout type breath readings for a good low at the end of January. Got that retracement bounce bounce that we were looking for. Initially, the large caps last time we talked were hitting resistance. Those resistance levers that we were looking for a couple weeks ago. The small and broader market had some room to go. They finally got there as well about a week ago. Since then, the risk has been extremely skewed to the downside, and I think it still is right now. We've pulled back quite a bit from those highs a week ago, but I think the still in the near term, the risk is substantial that either we see, you know, a test of those lows from late January or possibly even a new leg down. And if you're looking at some of the growth areas, the NASDAQ, for example, technology, for example, I think those are setting up for further legs down where we saw in the broader market and some of the small cap issues, we saw them hold right at some good support levels, some Fibonacci retracement levels from either whether it's 2020 or even 2009 in some cases. A lot of the growth names in the NASDAQ 100 and technology sectors actually broke down and have been consolidating below those initial Fib levels, and they, in our view, setting up another leg down to potentially another another lower low to that next level of key Fib levels. So depends what market you're looking at, but either way, we're looking at probably a retest of the lows or even another leg down, again, in those in the NASDAQ tech-type sectors.
Yeah, what was so interesting to me about this NASDAQ correction is that from the recent peak down to the bottom when the NASDAQ bounce was almost exactly 20%, right around that technical bear market indicator. And then it bounced from there, but clearly you still have that negative outlook for broadly the tech sector, and rightfully so. There has been a big rotation into value out of growth. Now, Dana, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're going to keep chatting. Record an extended segment here for our website. So everyone listening on the radio, please visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting, and Dana is featured in segment 3. We're going to dive a bit more into some of the market moves that Dana is seeing, and I think even more importantly, some of the commodities that Dana is looking at, oil, gold being a couple of them. Everybody, stick around. We are going to be right back to wrap up the weekend edition.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and Pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're actually going to replay a segment that was posted on Friday featuring Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Mike does a great job of really just summarizing where we stand for markets and some of the key trends he is watching. I hope you all enjoy this interview. And for everybody listening on the radio, you can hear the full interview on our website, kereport.com. I hope you all have a great weekend. Hey, everyone. We're chatting with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter at RealMikeLarson. Now, Mike, a theme that we've been talking about even at the tail end of last year was this rotation out of growth and tech stocks. And quite frankly, that rotation is continuing and we are seeing growth and tech stocks continue to get hit. Now, I know that they did rebound a few weeks ago from some of their bottoms, but the rebound that we've seen has actually been quite weak. And it really does just go to the whole narrative of investors are switching course. And as much as people are distracted by geopolitical fears right now, I think more people are switching course because of the fact that the Fed is going to be starting to hike rates. And quite frankly, we have quite a different monetary policy than we did even 6 months ago, let alone a year ago. Mike, take us through your outlook for the growth stocks and tech stocks that, as I mentioned, continue to get hit.
Yeah, I mean, I try and look at the market and sort of where I want to be and where I want to tell subscribers to be and so on based on where we are in the interest rate credit cycle, economic cycles and so on. So, you know, there's a time and a price to own all kinds of assets. I mean, there's a time when gold works the best. There's a time when tech stocks works the best. There's a time when financials work the best and so on and so forth. If you don't recognize those shifts when when the interest rate environment changes, the sort of easy money becomes a little more tight environment changes and you don't adapt to that, that's when you can lose an enormous amount of money. Whereas if you recognize those shifts and you start changing what you're investing in, you can make a lot of money or outperform quite a bit. And what we've really seen in the last several months is starting at the periphery, and it reminds me so much of what I saw both firsthand working at .com and also just in my investing and analysis career. You're seeing very much what started happening in the second half of 1999 and then spilled over into 2000 and the bear market that came there. And what by that I mean, if you look at some of the peripheral pie in the sky, no profit tech companies, EVs, all the stuff that got way overhyped, a lot of the really peripheral worst of the bunch companies didn't just start falling now. They've been in free fall for months. They started, rolling over as far back as the middle of last year. It's only now that when some of the big names, the Facebooks of the world or the Netflixes, start getting hit, that more of your mainstream tech investors are starting to see the pain as well. But it's an enormous rotation kind of out of that ultra growth, no profit, 10 years down the road, maybe we'll make some money kind of business plan thinking, those kinds of companies, into value sectors, companies that pay dividends, more cyclical and commodity-based names, and even more recently, precious metals. So, if you look, for example, and again, Bitcoin is sort of a different asset class, but it tends to trade along with tech. And if you look at a comparison between, the main Bitcoin ETF, GBTC, and the GLD gold ETF, just to keep things simple, I mean, just recently this week, in a single day, Bitcoin was down 8% and gold was up more than 1%. So that's 9 percentage points divergence in one day. But it's not just a one-day thing. I mean, the last 90 days, Bitcoin is down 30% while gold's up about 1%. In the last year, Bitcoin is down about 20% while gold's up almost 6%. So again, you can see it in terms of the rotations in say, crypto into gold. You can see it in the rotations with some of these Cathie Wood ARK innovation type stocks into more boring type sectors and dividend payers and value stocks. But no matter how you slice it, this trend, really started in the second half of last year. It's accelerated dramatically in 2022 because, as you mentioned, investors know the Fed is going to have to get on the warpath here with inflation doing what it's doing and all the political pressure building from the Biden administration to just do something about these dismal numbers. And in that environment, the absolute last thing you want to own is all this no-profit, pie-in-the-sky junk. They're the wrong stocks at the wrong point in the cycle and the wrong prices, whereas a lot of the more value names are the right stocks at the right prices and the right point in the cycle.
Yeah, Mike, you really laid it out well there. And it's interesting how many people are, because of recency bias, chalking this all up to just some of the latest geopolitical news, when in fact these trends have been in motion for a while. And when everything was overvalued and at nosebleed levels last year, I remember you and others pointing out just how overvalued some of these sectors were, especially the growth sector and some of the secondary and tertiary tech stocks that had really ratcheted to all-time highs. But now that we see the inflation picture and the CPI reading coming in at 7.5%, and the Fed rate hiking cycle right around the corner in March, there has been a big rotation really over the last few months out of growth and into value. Do you think that's another reason why gold has been starting to outperform even things like Bitcoin, as you lined out, or even outperforming the general markets? It's because people sense there's weakness on the surface in the general markets and they're looking for that safe haven bid?
Sure. In the last couple of weeks with what's happening in Eastern Europe, the Russia Putin situation, of course, that's sort of adding an extra leg up to gold. But the funny thing is, while gold underperformed, say, the S&P last year, it hadn't, even on its pullbacks, it hasn't made a new low going all the way back to March of last year. So every single pullback has been a little bit shallower than the previous one for 11 months now. It hasn't broken out to the upside until very recently this week. It's kind of testing that $1,900 an ounce level. If it continues to rally in the face of sort of testing some of these key levels and in the face of this rotation, then I think it's got a lot of potential upside and a potential to really flip the script versus last year where it was the underperformer. Now I think gold could be a dramatic outperformer. So it's definitely worth watching. Some very interesting action there. And it does just sort of play into the rotation of people that are sitting on big winnings that are turning into losers and they're trying to figure out what's going to be the next thing. They're looking for stuff that's underperformed. They're looking for stuff that's not overvalued. And I think in the particular case of gold, one of the big things holding it back was fear that the Fed wouldn't just have to hike rates, but just go on a complete rampage that, drives the 10-year to 10% and Armageddon type rate scenario and so on. But if you look at the interest rate curve, the forward yield curve and the forward interest rate markets, they're saying the Fed's going to have to do a lot at the front end, but then the economy is going to be, potentially in bad shape from the impact of all that on future growth and so on. So long-term interest rates, basically, if you take like a 30-year bond, are basically unchanged for months and months and months and months. And a lot of the sort of, again, the forward interest rate futures markets are basically saying that the Fed's going to have to pause this thing somewhere around 2%. just because the economy can't handle much more than that. So we'll see what happens there. But I think, again, it's part of that sort of great, you know, everybody talks about the great resignation, everybody quitting their jobs because, or during what's happened with COVID and so on, and labor's had the upper hand. I'd say there's also a great rotation going on in a lot of asset classes and a lot of markets. And I don't think it ends, you know, after a month or two or three of a changing of the guard. I think it's going to be something that's with us throughout the year and probably lingering into next year, too, depending on how things go.
Mike, have you been paying any attention to some of the recent financial reports out of the major miners? Because it has been interesting. Good reports have been bought. Bad reports have been sold off. So it does show some people are paying attention. Volumes still have generally been low, but any assessment driving underneath the gold price to the gold stocks?
You know, you still have issues with inflation pressures on everything from fuel to labor costs and so on. I mean, miners face some of those same challenges that the manufacturers and other heavy industry type companies do. But I think, again, when you have that tailwind from the price of your commodity or your precious metal that you're producing, that really sort of cures all kinds of ills on the cost front. So I think that, you know, these companies, again, if you see that true money start to rotate and look for havens that aren't overvalued, that haven't, you know, been running for months on end and, you know, look super expensive, or in the case of some of these tech companies are just losing people money hand over fist and they're looking for someplace to go, I think that those names could do pretty well. So, again, I think that this is going to be a real sort of script flipping year for us, where after a year of you know, or months on end, kind of, you know, gold is sort of an asset that you sort of poke with a stick and hope that, you know, it moves, but it doesn't really do much, like that meme you've probably seen. I think that's going to be a different situation now. It clearly has been in the last month or so. And again, you know, could we see a pullback if for some reason Russia says, okay, you know, let's all make friends and figure a way out of this? Sure, you're going to see gold prices pull back. But I don't think that they're going to go anywhere back to their sort of prior range. I think that there's other reasons to think, you know, there's a lasting, more broad sort of trend going on here that can really give some upside to gold and to mining shares this year.
All right, that's going to wrap up this weekend's edition of the KE Report. As I mentioned, everybody, please go back on our website, listen to those daily editorials and the company updates that we publish throughout this week. We are trying to just produce the most content we have to help everybody stay ahead and on top of these markets. As always, you can keep in touch with us through email. My email is fleck@kereport.com. Shad's email is shad@kereport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and we hope you join us throughout the week next week, as we undoubtedly will continue to see some pretty crazy market moves all heading into that Fed rate hike. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.